Psalm 85, 1-2, 8-13. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel today is from Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Mary's song of praise, which we just read, is such a fitting scripture for today, the second week of Advent in our Do Not Be Afraid series. Mary had a lot to be afraid about. A poor, unwed teen mother in a world full of violence, oppression, sexism and classism. Yet Mary's bold hope in God's promises lead her to proclaim God's audacious peace to all the world. I've often imagined Mary as a nearly silent, meek and mild kind of character, just pondering all these Christmas things in her heart. But Luke's gospel, which we just read, explains Mary as much bolder, more outspoken. Last week, Mary actually questioned God's angel, asking, "How can this be?" And then she walked 100 miles to meet her cousin Elizabeth, just to be sure the angel was right. This week, Mary boldly prophesies to the high priest, her cousin's husband, Zechariah, calling out for God's justice and equality in a world full of violence and oppression. Our world sometimes feels chaotic and confusing too. We still need divine courage in order to hold hope and bring peace to this crazy world. Last week, Pastor Karen encouraged us to hold hope, even when circumstances might feel hopeless. She asked us to take time this week to notice when God was making the impossible possible in our lives. Well, there were times when joining you all here at Lutheran Church of the Resurrection seemed pretty impossible to me. But I am so glad to be here now. No matter what feels impossible in your life, hold hope to God's power to bring about the impossible. Then, like Mary, once you have that hope, you might just start to proclaim God's radical peace and God's radical justice, too. As you read through the at-home devotional and activity packet this week, you might notice something a little strange about this godly peace which Mary boldly proclaims. It's not always calm or tranquil. It's definitely not silent. God's peace is a tangible action, an active verb, and so we are called to speak boldly about the peace which God has already brought into this world. God's peace isn't easily understood because it's so rare in our world today. God's peace isn't the silence of a quiet room. God's peace is the active challenge to ensure that everyone is included, even if it's a rowdy group. God's peace isn't passively fleeting, like that momentary calm after the kids finally go to bed. God's peace is the reassurance the kids are going to be all right. God's peace isn't a lucky happenstance, like the beauty of a softly falling snow. God's peace is the effort to ensure that everyone has a warm place to stay during the storm. God's peace doesn't happen when we get tired of fighting. God's peace happens when we choose to lay down weapons of destruction and instead pick up tools for construction, like swinging a hammer or dipping a paintbrush, like planting seeds or kneading bread. God's peace takes work. Bold words, courageous actions, radical changes. Most of us will tire of God's peace work at some point in our lives because we don't have the power within us to change the scale of the world's problems. Whether it's a global pandemic or systemic racism, you and I are absolutely not going to fix it tomorrow, no matter how much we may try. Individually, we're just kind of small to have that much impact in the world. The message of Mary's song is that we, lowly folks, we don't have to solve the world's problems. God has already shown up. God comes to the weak and the lowly, to the forgotten and insignificant. God comes into our world one moment at a time. Often, God comes in the tiniest, most imperceptible of ways. We are not asked to create peace. We are invited to bring peace. God's peace is already around us, and we get to show up and proclaim it, live it, and share it in very tangible ways. We might not be able to change the world, but we can make a difference in the concrete, lived reality of people around us. Making a small change in how the pandemic or politics or other problems affect our own family, friends, neighbors, schools, and communities. God's work is done by millions of lowly servants, showing up, doing their small part, shining a light on how God is already radically changing this world. Now, concrete, tangible examples of peace might be rare, but I was blessed to experience one about a decade ago on the day of the annual Sunday School Christmas pageant. For the first 30 years of my life, the annual Christmas pageant was full of chaos and stress and disorder. I began in the angel chorus in elementary school, and I grew to become the stage manager of the whole production in college. But it always felt as if the annual pageant was all about us getting the Christmas story right. Even though there was always at least one glaring mistake. One year, I broke the bottle of myrrh. Another year, the angel Gabriel got sick. Every year we were worried a blizzard would happen or baby Jesus would start screaming. And every year, those stories were shared as a sort of collective tale of woe and warning. Don't ruin Christmas like that one person did that one time before. If you've ever read the children's story, Best Christmas Pageant Ever, just imagine, I used to be like the pageant director in the first chapter, who's convinced that her own broken leg must cancel the pageant because Jesus can't get born without her help. Well, thankfully, things have changed for me. When I joined a new church 10 years ago, I brought all that anxious baggage with me. Thankfully, that year, I wasn't in charge of the Sunday school pageant. My friend Michelle had been running it for years. My job was to just sit in the back and watch, like everyone else. Now, you'd think that would bring me some peace, but it didn't. Because Michelle was so calm about the whole thing. The month of preparation didn't stress her out, the long days of rehearsals didn't cause any complaints, and even the day of the pageant, with a dozen things going wrong, Michelle was completely unflappable. Which, to be honest, only made me more anxious. After the pageant, the whole church building was in chaos. Parents are chasing down kids for a photo while they're running everywhere, spilling juice on their costumes, grinding Christmas cookies into the carpet. The angel's halo was broken. Mary lost the baby Jesus doll. There was hay in the pastor's shoes and grandparents were shouting. The three kings started wrestling. I stepped over the crowds to reassure my friend. Well, it was great. Even though, it seemed obvious to me, definitely was not all that great. Michelle calmly, peacefully responded, yes, Jesus got born. He always does. And then she was off to take the photos, sort the costumes, vacuum the hay, carefully organize everything back to where it belonged for next year when she would do it all over again. But I was stuck right there in that moment, which revolutionized the way I think about ministry. Jesus always gets born, she said. Michelle's complete confidence and faith that no matter what we do, Jesus gets born. That fact gave her peace in the midst of Christmas chaos. Jesus is born, no matter what we do about it. And Michelle's act of peace created a spiritual revolution for me. From that moment on, ministry wasn't about my efforts anymore. It wasn't about my work to bring peace to the chaotic programs which fill our calendars. Ministry began to be about showing up for whenever, wherever, and with whomever God was already working. God didn't need me to fix the pageant or the program or the people in it. God invited me to proclaim peace boldly, like Mary and Elizabeth, no matter how crazy this world might seem. God invited me to see that true peace comes when all are included. The kid who forgot their lines, the parent who sings off key, the volunteer who burns the cookies, even the pastor with hay in her shoes. We do that best when we let God's peace settle inside of us, and then it just starts to spill out. My friend Michelle wasn't trying to change my life that day. She was just telling me her truth. In fact, she might not even remember that she mentioned it. But the truth is, Jesus was already born. So every year on Christmas, Jesus gets born again. We already know how the story goes. So we can have peace this year and every year. Jesus is born. Sure, 2020 has been pretty horrible. But even this year's chaos can't stop Christmas. How do I know? Because every horrible thing that's happened for 2,000 years hasn't stopped Christmas. Plagues and wars and slavery and oppression, they didn't stop the first Christmas from happening, and they haven't stopped Christmas yet. There is nothing we humans can do to stop the truth of what God has already done. God already showed up on this broken earth inside of a human body, and that human body has already lived and died and rose and ascended and changed the world forever. Because of what God has done, we do not need to be afraid to boldly bring God's peace to this world. We light the Advent candles. We fight for justice. We sing the songs. We cling to hope, and we bring peace. Those are tangible acts of holy resistance, actively bringing God's peace to our world. So friends, I'm just thrilled that we get to celebrate together, that we get to do God's work of bringing peace and restoration to this world. And I can't wait to hear how you are actively bringing peace to our world in very tangible ways, starting today.